Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens. David is the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find us online by going to coveryourassetskc.com. David, great to be with you again this week. You've been getting in some golf lately?
Well, I have played a little golf, Walter. It's a hot, sweaty summer in Kansas City, and so as long as you dressed right for it, you're okay. And I played a couple times last week. It was fun.
I was doing some really heavy yard work recently, and in one day went through 3 wardrobe changes. So was sweating. I'm pretty sure I drank maybe 20 cups of water, like big cups, like, you know, cups with full of ice with, you know, a whole bunch of water inside of them. Like, you know, big, I'm working in the yard kind of cups is what I'm talking about.
So. I have never done the wardrobe change after 9 holes before teeing off on the 10th tee, but maybe that's a thought.
You know, there is a little something about feeling refreshed and not being in that soaking wet shirt if you're one who sweats a lot. But our listeners are probably cringing now. Ooh, I don't want to hear about sweat and that kind of thing. And that's okay. We're
always sweating the financial topic. So
hey, there we go. What a segue. It's almost like you got good at this or something, David. Well done. On today's show, we're going to tackle a tough topic to talk about, but one that needs to be talked about. Often, the tough topics are the most important ones to tackle and discover. And we're going to talk about the difficulty of financial planning after you lose a spouse. You know, it's a life event that can be one of the most difficult things to go through, David, and both from a financial standpoint and, of course, the emotional component of it all. And sometimes when one spouse dies, the remaining spouse is left with this, you know, this situation where they've got to wrestle with a mountain of questions and choices and all these different things that come up. And without a proper plan, it can obviously make it even tougher to make it through that period of time in life. So I want to spend some time exploring what somebody can do to prepare in the event of a spouse's passing. And also the flip side of that, maybe they weren't prepared on the front side and now what they can do if maybe this has happened to somebody recently. So I hope today's episode will be helpful for somebody. And I know that you've unfortunately had to experience this sometimes in working with people each and every day in the office. When a new client comes to you, either, you know, man or woman, doesn't really matter, I don't think, right after losing their spouse. I mean, what do those conversations sound like? What are their concerns that are usually raised right out of the gate?
Yeah, it's funny. So in this business, you do see it on a somewhat regular basis. And so whether it's a new client or somebody or a couple you've been working with for years, most times the concerns are really, really similar. So the first thing that everybody seems to be mostly concerned about is what's going to happen to my income? Is that going to be reduced? And so usually that's a fairly straightforward answer. If they typically they have 2 Social Security payments and either 1 or 2 pension payments. And so let me kind of cover that waterfront real quick. And actually, just to give the listeners an idea of where we're going to talk about reduced income today for the surviving spouse. We're going to talk about the probability that they're going to be in a higher tax bracket just because they're single. We're going to talk about a little bit about what they should do from an estate planning standpoint. And then we'll wrap up with maybe some financial matters that they're looking at for the very first time. In this case, changing their risk profile for their advisor so that everybody's on the same page. So that's kind of where we're going today. So let me circle back and talk about reduced income. Typically, so the couple that has lucky enough to have a pension or two, depends on what you decided when you retired. So your choices were among these 3 things. You could either let the surviving spouse continue to get 100% of that payment, or a lot of times they can get 50% of that payment, and then sometimes they get 0% of the payment. It just goes away. Now, I have clients that have done both the 100% survivor and the 0% survivor, and they were, luckily, they were really thoughtful about why they did that. So if you got 100% survivorship, all that means is that the surviving spouse continues to get that pension payment, and that's pretty cool. I have other clients, a couple of clients that took a 0. In other words, when the spouse with a pension died, the surviving spouse gets zero. Why would you do that? Well, a couple of reasons. In one case I can think of, the husband who had the pension, he retired early and is not certain that he's going to live for a long period of time, but they bought a life insurance policy that was going to get pretty expensive when he got into his 80s. But frankly, once he got into his 80s, she wouldn't need his pension payment. So they were super thoughtful when he retired. And they bought this life insurance policy that they will just abandon in the next couple of years because it will get too expensive. But if he had died early, she would have been well taken care of. I have another set of clients who took the zero option on her pension because they had done such a good job of saving that even if she died within the first year of retiring and he ended up with zero, they'd be fine. So everybody listening to this probably knows from prior podcasts, if you select a zero for your spouse, you're getting the most monthly income you can get over your lifetime. And so that's the other reason why they did that was they said, you know what, give us the most now, and hopefully that particular person lives a long and fruitful retirement. And if they don't, we have a plan. So as an investment advisor, I was totally fine with those choices. So that's pension. Social Security, I know we've done podcasts on this before, but the takeaway here is when one spouse dies, the remaining spouse gets the larger of the two Social Security payments. So I've had couples where the husband dies first. He happened to be the biggest breadwinner. So her Social Security payment just went away and he kept getting his. I've had more situations where the husband was the primary breadwinner, and he dies first. And what she ends up getting, she doesn't get her payment anymore, but she steps up and continues to get his payment for the rest of her life. So that's kind of what reduced income looks like. Hopefully, and this is probably where we end this podcast, but hopefully all these couples have had a good plan in place so that reduced income isn't a surprise for them. They know they're going to have reduced income, and they know in the best case scenario, they know that the surviving spouse is going to be just fine from an income standpoint.
So it's not exactly 100% in most cases, but not exactly a full 50% cut in other cases. And obviously, the benefits of planning in advance for something like that, that reduced income issue, boy, that pays dividends by planning and knowing it going into the situation, how it's going to play out versus, I'm sure the kind of thing that I think everybody dreads might happen one day, David, is you realize you're completely losing a big portion of that income. That is not a good discovery to have when you're also dealing with that emotional loss of a spouse. So great first number one tip of the day. What's another takeaway or key takeaway or key idea that we should have in mind as we kind of think about how to deal with this issue?
Well, so most people have no idea that this is going to happen to them. But when you're going to be in a higher tax bracket when you become a widow or a widower. Why is that? Because there are different tax brackets for whether you are filing married with a joint return or whether you're filing single. One other thing, so I'm going to unpack this with some real numbers here in just a minute, but the other thing is your standard deduction is going to be lower as a single than it is for a married person. So specifically, the standard deduction in 2020, if you're over 65, the standard deduction is $24,800 plus, if you're over 65, you get $1,300 for each person. All that means is that whatever your income is, you get to take the first $27,400 as a deduction. If you're single, however, you don't get $24,800, you get $12,400. And then instead of $1,300 for each person, now there's only one person, and that's now $1,650. The takeaway is that instead of having a standard deduction as a married couple of $27,400, you now have a $14,050 standard deduction as a single. That's over a $13,000 difference in what you get to deduct from your income. So that alone puts most people into a higher bracket. The other thing, and this is even worse, is that, so here's a specific example of what's worse. this is a specific couple client of mine. I've rounded the numbers slightly to make them understandable for a podcast, but this couple had $105,000 of income, two Social Security payments, one pension, investment withdrawals, and then some interest and dividends. Added up to $105,000, they got to take off $27,400, standard deduction. So their taxable income was $77,600. That puts them in the 12% tax bracket. One of them died. They lost a Social Security payment, but they kept the pension, the IRA withdrawals, and the interest and dividends. So now instead of having $105,000 of income, they have $85,000 of income. But now they only get to take off a standard deduction of $14,050. So, Walter, that's already a lot of numbers, but where I'm going here is this newly single person now has taxable income of $70,950. He or she is now in the 22% tax bracket, not the 12% tax bracket. I'll assure you.
Significant change.
It's a major change. And unless they've talked to an advisor who truly understands taxes, there is no way that they saw that train coming down the tracks at them. So it's not necessarily that you could do something about it, but to be surprised with that at tax time, while you're still working through the emotional baggage and the grief you might have from losing that spouse, is a really bad surprise. So everybody listening to this podcast should understand, when you become single, suddenly single after the death of a spouse, your tax bracket is very likely to go higher.
That is a really big consequence. And that, unlike maybe electing, you know, in a pension, do you want the money to, you know, last for your surviving spouse? To some, that may sound like an easy equation or an easy thing to pull the trigger on or make the decision on. When we get into the tax situation, a lot of people won't ever realize that potential impact. Because sometimes when we talk in percentages, it's hard to relate that to the real dollars that it's going to mean for somebody.
Right. And just one little extra bit of detail. That person that I mentioned that's suddenly single, they are in the 22% bracket, but they're pretty close to the 24% tax bracket. It gets really scrunched when you get into the single tax brackets. So it's absolutely something that you would want to understand or make sure your advisor understands and make sure that you're planning for that as you're running through your retirement plan.
So crucial and important to do that, David. So, all right, we've covered income, we've covered taxes. What's the third thing?
Well, there's always some estate planning matters that really need to be looked at fairly quickly after the first spouse dies. So what are those? Here's a short list. You probably list your spouse as your financial and healthcare power of attorney. And if that's the case, your spouse isn't here anymore. So you really need to redo your power of attorney documents. Your title to your home, your car, your bank accounts, a lot of those were probably joint. And so those are good things to have redone. And you'd want to talk to your estate planning attorney about that. And then something for your financial advisor, you'd want to make sure that you go through all of your beneficiary designations on your brokerage accounts, on your IRAs, on your bank accounts, on all those things that have either a pay on death or a beneficiary designation. And just make sure that now that you're single, that those are all exactly where you want them. Really, I hope this is a really quick example, but I know I've used this on a podcast a year ago, but we had a lady who found us on the internet. She wasn't a client of ours, but her folks lived in Florida. She lived here and her brother lived in Florida, and dad took care of everything. Mom didn't need to worry about anything. Dad dies. Mom inherits his $800,000 IRA. Beautiful. No problem. Mom, who doesn't really pay much attention to financial stuff because she's really good with other stuff, dies a month later. And she had never named secondary beneficiaries. So the result of that was that this woman and her brother, they still inherited the money, but they couldn't do a beneficiary IRA. In other words, that $800,000, $400,000 for each of them, that was a taxable transaction as soon as mom died. They couldn't roll it over because they weren't named beneficiaries, and there was no way to fix that. Some things in this world you can fix after the fact, but with the IRS, most of their stuff can't be fixed afterwards. So it was super, it was a big bummer for them, because each of them then had to add $400,000 to their current year tax return, shot them up to the top tax bracket, and a whole bunch of money that could have been taken out over time had to be recognized and taxed at the highest bracket that the IRS allowed. So that was a sad thing. Could have been easily fixed if beneficiary designations had been looked at as soon as Dad died.
That's unfortunate. And another great example of something that people, it's just hard to think. It's like chess. It's hard to think 5, 10, 15 moves ahead when you're trying to just juggle everyday life and family matters and, you know, just kind of making it from one day to the next. Hard to see all these moves ahead, all these potential consequences, if you don't have somebody kind of guiding you through this, David. So obvious to see where that is certainly helpful, having somebody who can point these things out to you as you go along. You teased us that there were going to be four total key takeaways on today's show for how to deal with that, you know, the death of a spouse in the wake of that, what to plan for in advance, and also how to deal with it when it happens. What's our fourth takeaway of the day?
Well, so I've had this with a number of clients. There's almost always one spouse who has a particular thoughts on risk. And the work I've done with couples almost always has one client, one part of the couple who is risk averse, and one who really likes to take risk. And so you build a portfolio, a risk posture, based on a blending of those two. What I'm going to suggest here, that it is super important, it's super important for me being in this business to make sure I ask these questions of the surviving spouse. But if you're the surviving spouse, you want to sit down with your financial advisor and make sure that he or she clearly understands what your risk tolerance is, not going forward with what your either your blended or your deceased spouse's risk tolerance was. That can be super important, especially with volatile markets like we've just had and are likely to have for some time. So here's a specific example of this. I think it pulls a couple of these things together that we've already talked about. But I had a couple, he died, and she was much more conservative than him. So we got together, we talked that over, we did a new profile questionnaire, which said almost exactly what you would have expected. So we went in and changed most of her investments. She rolled over his IRA into her IRA. No tax consequences for that, no drama. We sold a lot of the investments that were in his and bought new ones in hers, which more fit her risk profile. So the IRA was simple. No tax consequences. Everything worked very smoothly. They had a trust account, and all of the investments in there were taxable. So you don't just willy-nilly sell investments without understanding what that's going to do to her tax bill, especially since two topics ago, we just discussed she's going to be in a higher tax bracket. So we went through, made some changes to get the risk aligned to her risk tolerance without causing a bunch of tax problems. He had an indexed annuity, a fixed indexed annuity. We did a podcast on that a time or two ago. And so what we did on that was we surrendered that back to the company for him, because she still wanted the safety that was built into that fixed indexed annuity. But there were other products out there that had better terms from different companies. So we just did a best of breed search, got a better indexed annuity for her, and there weren't any costs or penalties for her doing that either. So that's kind of a rough sketch of how those things work, regardless of which spouse you are, whether you're the high income earning spouse, or maybe you were the more stay-at-home, lower-income-earning spouse, whether you're the more risky spouse or the risk-averse spouse. What you want to do is, if you find yourself to be suddenly single, you want to get some really good professional advice from a couple of really important players in your financial world, your estate planning attorney and your financial advisor. Do your best to avoid advice from family members who mean well, but very likely don't understand the ripple implications of what happens when you lose a spouse. So find a good advisor. If you don't already have one, find an estate planning attorney. Maybe a tax advisor are going to be critical to making sure that you're still on track after becoming suddenly single.
It is so important to plan for these things. They aren't fun to plan for by any means, but they're part of that full planning process. The complete planning review is what David walks each and every client through to help make sure that these things are addressed. And if you haven't been through that complete planning review before, pick up the phone, give a call. 913-317-1414 is the easy number to call to get in touch with David and the team. 913-317-1414. And you can also go online to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. to get in touch via the website and find out more great information there. Well, David, thank you for the help and the guidance on today's show. I know it's a tough topic, but as with most things, you handle it with a sincere approach and some helpful tidbits for us to consider and think about.
Yeah, this is one of the most rewarding things that we in my business get to do is work with people in these transition phases. So hopefully some of the information today was super helpful. And if we can be of help, give us a call.
Again, 913-317-1414. Call to get in touch or online at coveryourassetskc.com. Thanks for joining us. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.